Sports Hub headlines.
Bruins got a 6-5 overtime win last night, thanks in large part to Brad Marchand, who got the game winner in overtime, but he knows it wasn't a perfect night. Brad?
I don't think he write it off. You have to be aware of it. We didn't play our best through the neutral zone. We didn't take care of the pucks the way we should have and went up for forward battles. So it wasn't our best game. It won't be every night, especially in this stretch right here. But, you know, if we expect a win, we can't continue to play like that.
Yeah, the poor play and the stuff he's talking about there resulted in the Bruins losing two-goal leads three times throughout the night. And the stretch, well, they're going to be without Charlie McAvoy for a while like they were last night. He'll be reevaluated in 4 weeks on his sprained MCL. Patrice Bergeron out for a couple of weeks, dealing with a foot fracture. Tuukka Rask sat last night. Next up for the Bruins, another home game against the Flyers on Thursday night. The Celtics also play on Thursday night when they visit the Timberwolves. The Red Sox about to get underway. Two venues today, split squad doubleheader. Last one is spring training. Be at home at JetBlue Park to take on the Twins, while another squad heads over to Clearwater to play the Phillies. Both are 105 starts. Headlines are brought to you by WestJet Airlines, now with low-fare daily flights from Boston to Montreal, Toronto, and Halifax. Book now at WestJet.com. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
This is the station for the fans of the home teams. Sox, Bruins, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Thoughts on the Bruins, though? What are they?
Kind of cereal thing Marshawn likes. Hat Trick Crunch? Marshmallow Berries? Marshmont? Get it?
I get it. Yep.
How many times were you ready to turn a game off last night because you thought they had it in hand?
No, I wouldn't. Well, I wasn't ready to turn it off.
Not turn it off. But you know what I'm saying?
I like goals.
Start flipping around like, damn.
I mean, I don't mind a good, you know, 1-0 or a 2-1 game, but when you flip it, I'm like, holy crap, I missed three goals already. Go back, start watching them all, and just, to me, that's entertaining. Even with the poor play, I was glued in. And I got the sense, though, that they were never fully in control of that one. Because the Red Wings were as bad as they've been playing.
But they had some sloppy goals, too. You know what I mean? Well, they got lucky. And
as bad as the Red Wings are playing, they've still got a couple of very talented players who can just change things in an instant.
Whose goals were smoother, the Red Wings or the Bruins? Like, from a talent standpoint, the passing, little backhanded flip pass, this guy, boom, nets it, drills it. Like, some of the Red Wings' goals were pretty freaking impressive.
Some of them were, but Marchand. I mean, just the fact that he has gone from the guy that we talked about a few years ago, and I remember saying this, is he going to be
Kenny Lindsman, he's a rat.
Well, is he? Yeah.
Agitator.
I wonder if he's ever going to turn into like a true goal scorer, like a real goal scoring threat, right? Because he was an agitator and he was, you know, he was a great energy piece and he was just a guy you wanted on your team. But
prick,
what do you think of him as now?
You know, and it's funny because
he's a goal scorer.
Yep.
Elite offensive talent. Yeah.
Yes.
You have to.
You Brad Marchand.
Yes.
You never even going back to their cup run when they won too, you never thought like, you know, 2011, yeah. So 7 years from now, he's going to give you this.
Right, or even in 13.
The guys like Lucic, Horton, Iginla, they would all be gone, and this guy would elevate and be better than him.
This is why you got to put up with all his crap.
Yeah.
Because he's this good. That's why.
We turn his little, what, 5-game suspension.
Yeah.
Like, okay, he's going to get suspended. You deal with it because that's the way he is. And he's never going to get rid of this in this game.
And I'll tell you what else kept me glued to that game. When Backes put that guy, when he hit him up high and put his face into the boards, I said, he's going to have to answer for that. It was one of those moments where I saw it, and you saw the Red Wings players react on the bench. I'm like, that one is not going away. Somebody is going to have to answer for that. I didn't know that it would necessarily be Backes, but yep, and he did.
Like the win,
as a hell of an entertaining game.
The win on Saturday, that was another entertaining game.
Yes.
But the place went nuts. It was like electric. You watch them. They beat the Red Wings in overtime with a bunch of guys down. So Marchand gets the game winner. It's a hat trick for him. He gets excited. He skates to center ice, and they sort of just all tap him on the head, give him a hand slapping at him. It's almost like they're getting used to this, and normally you pile on, and like it's a melee at center ice. Like people are going nuts. No, just kind of casual. This is what we do now. Like you mentioned this week. Like they just continue to do it.
Here's my thought on this team. Last night, that's no way to go about winning.
No.
But I think it reflects their current state of affairs. I don't think Hudobin was great last night, but I don't think he was necessarily bad for a guy who gave up 5 goals. I mean, he made some big saves.
Yeah.
He made that save on Larkin coming back to his left across the crease. I mean, that was a hell of a nice save.
That's some good goals.
I don't think he was bad last night. I don't think he was necessarily good either. He was okay.
Right. There were a couple of those goals where you said, boy, that's not on Hudobin. That's a hell of a goal.
Defensively, you could see they're starting to struggle.
One of them was a power play goal that wasn't. On the score sheet, it will not go down as a power play goal. I think Carlo was in the box. He came out, but he wasn't yet in the zone, and he wasn't down there to help yet. So, and I'm not absolving them from that. The Bruins should be able to kill off penalties from the Red Wings right now, but that only accounts for one of them. You got four other goals to answer for, and yet might hang one or two of them on Hudobin, the rest with the defense, and just being out of position, allowing guys to go unimpeded to the net. The one you're talking about, Zoe, the little drop pass that results in the goal. Like,
it was sick.
Well, yeah, it was sick because when you...
It was there.
it was a two-on-none. Yeah. It was you know, two guys skating toward Hudobin allowed to do whatever the hell they wanted. Yeah, that's going to happen when you get that far out of position. So, yeah, the McAvoy being out as long as he's going to be out, that's going to hurt this team. The two-way play of Bergeron, that's going to hurt this team. You can't expect them to continue to win games like that.
Well, say Krug.
It's not sustainable.
No.
Say Krug, though, you know, on the flip side of that, too, from a defensive standpoint, Krug offensively gives you what he gave you last night and could get hot like that in the playoffs. It's another shot in the arm for you.
You know what's going to be a problem for Backes is that his right skate left the ground on that hit. And he sort of jumps up a little bit.
So
he sort of leaves.
It's the launching point.
Yeah. He is going to have a hearing with the league, by the way. It's happening today.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to know what they do, but I don't know. I didn't think the hit was that bad. Did you think it was that bad of a hit?
No, not at the time, not in real time.
But there was so much else going on the ice that, you know, I don't think anybody was focused in on it. Watching it, not even in slow-mo, watching just the real time. The way he gets spun around, and it looks like he got him in the head. Yeah, I thought it was a pretty bad hit. I did.
I think
he comes up.
The jumping. Yeah, he does come up. I don't know why. And if you're going to do it, you almost wish that he had made it a better hit.
Now it's all of a sudden there's art to it. You know, it's so bang, bang.
Yeah. Yep, there is.
There is.
Absolutely. Yep. And you got to be careful. In that instant, easy for us to say, but... you know, during a hearing, as they look at it, I think he's going to get something out of it. Feels like a fine. I don't think it's not a suspension. But, yeah, I think he'll get popped for that one.
617-779-0985 is the phone number. PJ's on the Cape. Hey, PJ.
Hey, my man. How are you guys doing?
Hi. What's up?
Hey, so I have a funny story for you, my man. I have this old VHS tape, and you're actually behind the scenes videotape, and this is right before the Super Bowl.
Okay.
And it's still on VHS, but I gotta make a DVD out of it somehow. But I remember this vividly. You're behind the scenes. You're looking at Drew Bledsoe.
Yep.
And he's literally cranking up the bird. And I fell in love with you guys right after that. I was probably 13 years old. And I got.
Are you having a hard time following this? Because I am.
Cranking out the bird.
He said, "Wait,
yeah, he's cranking it up. Like he's giving the bird, but he's like, you know, cranking it up.
He's like raising it.
Oh, I see.
I was the and Parcells anointed me the official behind the scenes filmer. So I had like Fox gave me a camera for it, a VHS camera, and I documented like all the behind the scenes stuff. So I was always filming
like
stuff.
One of those, it's like it could be right up there with the Lost OJ tapes. It's beautiful.
So this you taped this off of TV.
No, actually, I have a friend that still works with the Patriots organization. He was involved in all that Spygate nonsense. But I'll have to make a DVD and send it in to you guys.
Okay, do it.
All right,
PJ. So someone has a tape that you were filming. You were actually the guy behind the camera.
So the hidden tapes. Yeah, me in the background filming.
I mean, I think that they should air it right after the OJ tapes on Sunday night. The lost Zoe and Bledsoe tape.
Some stuff we couldn't put on TV. And guys are being jerks, too. They knew I was filming. They're like, oh, now we can't use it. Yeah.
Will's in Melrose. Hey, Will.
Hey, Zoe. Hey, Beetle. How's it going?
What's up?
What's going on, guys? My biggest thing about the back is hit last night, Zoe was talking about it. His foot may have came up a little bit,
Beetle.
But he did get penalized. So the referee did catch it. And as far as I remember, I don't think he has a history of being like a recognized dirty player like maybe, Marchand. But, I think being penalized and having it be one of the first situations, I don't think it would be anything that would be extensive for a penalty or anything that would be substantial coming off a suspension afterwards. But you're right. Torrey Krug looked really good last night, and they need some more help with, McAvoy on the shelf for 4 weeks.
Yeah, Krug did look good last night. I mean, he's in the right spots at the right time. And Marchand tried to – do you see the goal that Marchand tried to feed him? Marchand could have had four goals last night. He had the shot. The selflessness, it's nice to see, but I'd rather have the goal. I would rather have Krug coming down, finding Marchand in a good spot, in the spot that he loves, over on the goalie's glove side. Just take that shot and rip it home over the glove. But instead, he tried feeding it back to Krug so that Krug could have another one. And then Marchand mentioned it again about the game winner last night. It's like, oh, it would have been nice for Krug to pick up the hat trick, but I was there and it, deflected off me. I put it off the pad and it was in. So I don't know if he's just, trying to say the right thing or if he's really trying to, spread the goals around. But you know what, Marchand? You go ahead and score those goals when you have the opportunity. I think everybody's okay with that. Even Torrey Krug is okay with that when it means winning games. Absolutely.
I also thought that the hit that Backes delivered was not completely – it wasn't a complete blindside.
No.
I think that there should have been the ability to see him coming a little bit.
I don't think it was that bad, but I think it's bad enough in the way that they're officiating, they're regulating the league right now, and they want to get rid of those hits altogether, where
yes.
I think there's going to be some kind of supplemental discipline as a result of it.
Well, I can tell you the hit that Backes took a couple of weeks ago, Nick Ritchie was the one that hit him.
Yeah.
That was a late hit, and he did not see that coming at all.
No.
And he didn't
Backes was a little late last night, too. He was finishing his check, and I get it, but it was a little late.
A little late, and he makes the mistake of kind of motioning and jumping up high.
A little bit.
The skates eventually leaving the ice, which is never a good thing.
That's a big one.
Both skates leave the ice.
They want that stuff out of the game.
Drill his ass, keep the skate planted.
It's the ice. It's the skates coming up that it's going to get him.
It's a launching.
A fine or whatever they end up doing. 617-779-0985. Zolak and Bertrand, we had some football stuff earlier in the show. We're going to revisit that. Mix in your Bruins thoughts as well. Don't go anywhere.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
We've covered quite a few things today, including cereal. Including that. That was a major topic here today, thanks to Scott Zolak wanting it to be, and I think it worked out well.
You're welcome.
Yep. I'm glad we didn't get into hot cereals either, other than...
There's no such thing.
Other than the microwaving of the grape nuts for 20 seconds. There was no oatmeal. There was no cream of wheat talk. We didn't mix the message. You say cereal, we mean cold cereal. That's it.
Cold.
Next thing you know, you got somebody calling up about grits, and then it's off the rails. We really kept her between the lines. I think we deserve a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, pat on the back. pat on the back. We started off the day talking about the Patriots and what's going on in the offseason. So, what's a bigger concern for you, Nate Solder or Rob Gronkowski?
I say Nate Solder, and I say this because I totally 100% believe Rob's coming back and this is a money ploy. That once a deal's done, and I say that based on Drew Rosenhaus's not wanting to get into it on Pro Football Talk about the Patriots. He says, I can't say anything. Tells me that they're going back and forth on money here, and a deal's going to be announced soon where Rob's going to get a bump. So I assume Rob will be back in full go. So that tells me Nate Solder's your number one thing you need to do and lock up in the offseason. And I say that because your quarterback's 41 years old.
Would you go so far as to say if they don't get a new deal done that Rob Gronkowski won't be playing for the Patriots next year under his current deal?
I think he could use that as a threat, yeah.
So you don't think Rob Gronkowski be playing here next fall under his current deal? This fall?
I could see a holdout. I could see him not
that
being
counts.
Around.
All right, that counts.
And I could see that pissing the quarterback off, because who did you need in Pittsburgh when it was go time? Was it Edelman? No. Second half, Pittsburgh. You need drives. Where are you throwing it? 87? Go in any other important game you needed to win. He's going to him. Second half of the Super Bowl. Throw everything out the window. Brandon Cooks got himself knocked out. We're going to 87, and they can't stop him. You can't stop the guy. You really can't in one-on-one. He knows it. Probably almost the worst thing that happened was you'd have been getting your ass. You would have been better off getting your ass kicked by 40 in that Super Bowl, getting beat. Because that Super Bowl in the second half, I think, showed him something. And he knows it. He knows it, freaking nature. He's going to see the tag numbers going up, and he's receivers. Antonio Brown just got his 2018 year guaranteed to save money to get Le'Veon Bell under the cap. And that's what's going on here. And he's seen it, and he's seen that number. He goes, I'm as much of a game changer as this guy. Different way, but still a game changer. Can't cover me. Can't cover me with one guy. Probably can't cover me with two. So in a weird way, even though you lost that game, he was so damn effective in that second half. Hey, when I'm right, I'm the man, and you ain't got nobody else.
The longer this goes on, and hearing the stuff that was said this week by Rosenhaus, going back to last week on Pro Football Talk, and then sort of this week with the there's no timetable, taking the sweet time, the longer that happens, the more I think it's a play about nothing more than money.
I think it's all about money. I don't think there's one little thing that he wants to do other than play football, lift weights, and eat, drink, and sleep protein and go to Florida in his time machine. That's it. That's what he's built for. He's not built for the WWE. He's not built for movies. He's built to play tight end and play it at an extremely high level, maybe the best we've ever seen.
No, I don't think he wants to play. I don't think he wants to play another 5 years.
No, I don't either.
I think he wants to play another couple of seasons.
I think he knows Tom's window. And I think his window matches up with Tom's, if that makes sense. As does Nate Solder's. Two-year deal.
I've said all along, I'd be very surprised if he did walk away, because I think he ultimately wants to play.
Did he look unhappy to you?
But now, the more this drags on, again, the league year starts in a week. The fact that this is always going to take his sweet time, you don't get to take your sweet time. That just signals that this is not a serious decision for you. This is all about what can I get out of the Patriots more money in terms of what can I do to enhance my contract before I arrive at training camp.
But you say, does he look unhappy to you? No. But do you not believe Tom Curran's report that he was unhappy?
I believe that.
I believe it too.
I just don't believe it was enough to have him quit.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Correct.
I think both are true.
He's not as dumb as people think he is. He sees it. He looks around. No, but I think accordingly.
So yeah. I don't mean to speak for you, but I think you were talking about, does he seem unhappy being a football player?
No, yeah. And the environment, that it was just grueling and rough and it's tough to play here. I think he's learned how to play here and manage it. And I think they allow him to be him too. And
I tell you what.
Bill's hands off on him. I mean, they issue joint statements.
He didn't look any happy. But he gets up slower than he used to. And you've seen that too. After a tackle.
You got to worry about that tingle. Does he feel that tingle in the back?
I don't know what it is. Look, man.
That's what I wear, tingle.
Any of us get tackled like that once, we're never getting up. Just call the meat wagon. We're dead.
Great thing, too.
With Gronk, it was always guys bouncing off him and him literally laughing. I remember you when you were down on the sideline when Gil and Gino were still in the booth.
Yeah.
And you said you could literally hear him laughing after some plays when guys would try and come at him and tackle him up high and try and bring him down. It laughed guys off.
All the way to the huddle. Yep.
It's not as funny anymore. Guys are coming after him. They're figuring out ways to bring him down. Not, and he's still the best at it, but when it happens... There are times, you saw it especially toward the end of this season, it's a long season and everybody gets beat up and it's just that extra, get off the ground.
I think
he's back too, but I wouldn't,
right.
I'm not going to be shocked anymore. I'd be surprised if he doesn't play another year.
But the longer it drags out.
Beetle, I know you're with me on that. I'm not I will not be shocked because it keeps dragging out and I see enough things, I've read enough things, I heard enough stuff to where I think, okay, I get it. I don't want it, but I get it.
But the longer it drags out with the comments we've heard, the more I believe that it wasn't genuine. The more I start to believe it was nothing but a ploy for more money.
Yep.
That's the direction I'm going.
The agent's not yapping. He probably wants to yap, but he knows I can't yap because Patriots are going to cut my you-know-what's off.
Okay, and if he doesn't get more money, is there a possibility he doesn't play?
There's a possibility that he holds out. I don't think he would say, I'm done, I'm retiring.
I mean, Vince, I think...
I'm not showing up.
I think this has a chance.
And I think that's why he can't commit to playing.
Yeah.
Do you remember Vince at the end? I think that's why he won't do it publicly.
Remember the Vince Wilfork stuff at the end? And Vince is like, you know, maybe I'd do all the OTAs. Maybe I'm not going to do everything. I'll just show up and do the required stuff. Like the mandatory stuff. I can see Gronkowski missing OTAs over this. That's all. But camp, he'll be there. I think he'll be there at camp. But I don't want to be flirting. I don't want to be talking about this in May, post-draft.
It's gonna come down to how important the money is to him. And it's important to everybody. And I also understand that they equate the players equate the money with respect and how much respect he's going to garner from the Patriots. And if they're not willing to pay him or respect him to an acceptable level to what he wants, I mean, he can ask for a trade. I don't think he would get it.
See, he and Brady keep playing to a level where they could keep demanding two-year retweaks of the contract. They did. They retweaked his contract 2 years ago.
But if they're unwilling to do it because of that fact, though, that because they just retweaked it, and money ends up being way, way more important to him than we think it is right now, and he can get a suitable amount of money from doing movies and wrestling appearances, I already came to the conclusion that it's a possibility. Of course it's possible. Unlikely, yeah. I'll still be surprised, but not shocked.
617-779-0985. Ken and Lowell. Hi, Ken.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hi.
What's up, guys? Anyway, I was going to weigh in on Gronkowski. You kind of stole my thunder a little bit, but I don't see Gronk walking away from $8 million guaranteed, not to mention all the bonuses that he's got going, the incentive clauses, and also, you know, the Wheaties that he gets for free.
Mm-hmm.
I see what you did there. Yeah.
Brought the cereal back in.
I brought that.
Yeah, well, yeah, the cereal. I was trying to get you off of that. I mean, you guys went in more than an hour on that clip.
Well, then you just brought it up again.
Well, yep, yeah, now we're going to go back to it.
Yep, now we're going to go back
that?
To it.
We weren't talking about it. You were.
Yep.
All right. Well, anyway, but...
The thing with Wheaties is that if you just pour the Wheaties in a bowl and try to eat them, they don't taste good. You can get away with the cornflakes, plain Cheerios, but just straight-up Wheaties in a bowl with the milk, not good.
The athlete on the box. I mean, I had a Bruce Jenner one back in the day when he was a regular.
Listen to you, Ken. You call up, you complain that we're talking cereal, now you're talking about your Wheaties box collection.
Anyway, all I want to say is Gronk... My buddy Jack says Gronk can't earn a fraction of the money in the WWE that he can in the for the Patriots.
This guy Jack, is he a wrestling guy?
Connected to the wrestling world?
He's a resident expert. He's known more than Sarge and everybody else you've got there in the studio. Yeah. He knows more on his little finger than everybody.
Is he going to participate in the Kowloon crew thing, Crush Him?
Well, he doesn't know how to. We don't know how to do this video type stuff. And besides, he can't be there on Friday anyway because he's got to work graveyard shift.
Oh. Yeah, graveyards.
That sucks.
But anyway, no, I don't see Gronk walking away from this incentive. And also, it's Jack's opinion that like they're playing this off so that he can make like a special guest appearance on WrestleMania.
Oh, he'd do that for $1 million. That's easy money for him. That's no problem.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, getting now as far as Nate Solder goes, I wouldn't blame him walking away. What with his son's issues and everything like that. However, moving Marcus Cannon over to left side, wasn't that done when wasn't that already done when Solder was hurt a few years ago? And he was like a turnstile. Cannon cannot play the left guard.
Yeah.
So
no, it was. I mean, remember they would rotate tackles and Matt Light and Solder in his rookie year and beat tight end? Ken's one of our favorite callers.
Did he call Bruce Jenner back when he was a regular? Is that what he said?
Isn't that kind of weird?
That's not what he said.
Tom?
What?
He was talking about having a Wheaties box with Bruce Jenner on it.
Isn't that kind of weird?
And he pointed out that point in time as being what, Tom?
Back in the day when he was a regular.
Oh, that totally went over my head.
Yeah.
I did not hear that the first time around.
I didn't understand.
Isn't that kind of weird?
Yes.
I had completely missed that.
Hey, I got something on these tight end averages, money averages, as to where, to what Beatle said. This is so about money. This is so about money. And part of the problem is one of the tight ends that's up there, money averages, is the other tight end on the team, and we know what that production was.
Hardy has headlines. We're right back.
Sports Hub headlines.
Brad Marchand, 3 goals last night, including the game winner for the Bruins. 6-5, the final. I have no idea where that's coming from, but I think I got it now, Tom. 6-5, the final over the Red Wings at the TD Garden. Next up for them, they will take on the Phillies Thursday night once again at home. Celtics are going to be on the road again after their win over the Bulls in Chicago the other night. Thursday night, they take on the Minnesota Timberwolves. Red Sox engaged in a split squad doubleheader as we speak. They're taking on both the Twins at JetBlue Park and the Phillies in Clearwater. Headlines brought to you by AdCare Hospital. If you or a loved one is struggling with alcohol or drug use, help is just around the corner. Call AdCare at 1-800-ALCOHOL. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
I'm going to King Arthur, the Knights of the Round Table.
Could this head injury have been caused by a fall?
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
.137 here on Zolak and Bertrand. Another big free agent item for the Patriots is that of Nate Solder. Nate Solder, who is going to be able to hit the market, going to be able to price himself out if he wants to start talking to other teams. And you know that his agent most certainly will do that. That's their job, is to sort of establish the price, establish the market. Real question on him is, will he leave?
What was his average per year?
$10 million the last 2 years.
Yeah, so he's making more money than Rob Gronkowski on average per year. Think about that. Greatest tight end ever played the game, and I think that's the problem. Real quick here before we get back to Solder. The average of Rob Gronkowski's salary for 2018 is $9 million. Dwayne Allen's salary average is 7.4 million. Rob Gronkowski makes on average 1.6 million more than Dwayne Allen. Travis Kelce makes more than Rob. Jordan Reed makes more than Rob. Zach Ertz is right there on the tail end of Rob, followed by Charles Clay and Greg Olsen. This is about money for Gronk. Here I am next to the tackle to make a 10 per year. I think I affect the game more than the tackle, even though the tackle's important. Now let's get back to Nate Solder. I think because Rob will be back and they will find a way to give him a raise.
What are you looking at, though? You're looking at average per year?
Average ranking, salary-wise, per year. For the 2018 season, Rob's average is $9 million.
But that factors in money that will never get paid on some of those deals.
Okay.
How about the cash? You want to know the cash?
Yeah. Give me the cash compared to, say, Jordan Reed or Travis Kelce.
Okay, cash out for 2018, Rob Gronkowski, $9 million. Real money. Real money, $9 million.
Okay.
You know where that ranks him?
Where?
Number one.
There you go. This is where the Patriots can look at you and say, we tweaked you 2 years ago. We made you the highest paid. You know what, by the way? Cash out, you're still highest paid. What do you want us to do?
Jordan Reed is two,
Eric Ebron is 3. Zach Ertz is 4th. Kelsey is 5th at $8 million. Cap hit. You want to go by cap hit? Rob Gronkowski?
Cap hit is where the team is concerned.
Number
player
one.
Player likes cash out.
Rob Gronkowski right now for 2018, projecting the 2018 season, will have the highest cash received by a tight end in the league and will have the highest salary cap value in the league.
So the Patriots made him the highest paid at his position, which they rarely do.
They have a case.
Not even the quarterback is the highest paid at his position.
If you want to talk about he wants more money in the form of guaranteed money and overall value of contracts, that's where the player has a case.
Guarantee the rest of it for me. Just guarantee the rest of my contract for me. You know? You got quarterbacks out there trying to get guarantees. They're getting all this guaranteed money. I'm the one sacrificing my damn body.
If they do that, they're going to want to tack on years. Telling you that.
Correct.
And really, if Gronk only wants to play a couple more years, he shouldn't care about that.
So this is a real money thing.
Go ahead. Tack on the years.
This is a real money thing.
It's a real money, guaranteed money type of thing is what it is.
But this is where you could see resistance from the team wanting to do anything. Because we already put you at number one. We're already giving you the cash. We're getting our salary cap crushed because of you.
I don't think they really are, though.
They're not.
And I think they benefit. Everybody benefits, okay?
Right.
Everybody in this league benefits if you have a good tight end, if you have Zach Ertz, if you have Rob Gronkowski, if you have even Travis Kelce. We're not a huge fan of him, but he's up there. You benefit from the tight end position being underpaid in this league. So the better your guy is at the position, the better a deal you're getting. And the Patriots, I would argue, are getting the best deal on a tight end. Because he's so good and because he's so valuable. That position, the money at that position, which is the argument of some of these guys, how can you pay these receivers the way you pay them? And then someone who impacts the offense the way I do, how do I not get that same kind of money? And I don't know how you can find a flaw in that. If you're a tight end, how can you not feel that way? Seeing some of the silly money that gets handed out to wide receivers in this league. Silly. So I get it. I get why he'd be upset. I get why he feels he wants more money. Kevin in L.A., what do you got for us?
Guys, I think we're overblowing the money aspect here altogether. Although it is interesting, you go back with the tight ends, and you remember Jimmy Graham wanted to classify himself as a wide receiver for getting his money back in the day. But getting back to the point, I think this is less about a money grab as it is about Gronk wanting to have his contract rewritten so that he gets unfettered access to TB12 and Alex Guerrero and all that and gets to train the way he wants. It's one thing with the money, and even when it gets shown to him that he's making the most for his position, et cetera, and maybe he does go and grab a few more bucks to make it worth his while. But I think at the end of the day, the chip on his shoulder has to be, look, I'm feeling the best I've ever felt.
Yep.
I'm tired of not getting the star treatment. I want to train the way I want to train, and I don't want to hear it. And I can see Belichick digging his heels in on that, not budging. And I have a feeling that might be the sticking point. It seems like a very logical theory. What do you guys think?
Yeah, no, I think that is an outlier. I think it's a part of it. It could be, you know, down the ladder, 3A, 3B, reasons why there may be some resistance here. You know, treat me the way the quarterback's treated. Give me a suite. Let me get worked on up there. See, he's very good friends with Tom. There's a reason he's doing the TB12 stuff because Tom got him doing it. Now why don't you let me train the way that guy trained?
Yeah, it could also be that, hey, you gave him the treatment, you're giving me the treatment too.
You know what?
I want him to squat then.
Make him squat. Brady squat. Make him power clean if I got to.
I don't have to listen to team trainers anymore.
Yep.
And you know what's going to happen if that comes up in the conversation? I don't think it's going to end up going well for Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah.
If we're being honest. I don't know that those ideas will be received well.
Yeah, they want him strong like bull.
Tim in Manchester. Hey, Tim. Okay, we're going to let you go and go to Dave, who's in the car. Dave.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, what's up, guys? Question, what's the contract ramifications if he sits out for a year, does a few movies, and if the movies stink, he comes back to football? And if they're big hits, he becomes a movie star.
Well, you don't get paid for the year, and you hold his rights, and you just kind of hog time. What, you cut him loose? Let somebody pick him up? Send him to Miami? Put him in a time machine, let him play for the Dolphins. I don't know. You ever watch those Brian Bosworth movies? Those came out great. I mean, that's where this thing's heading, right? It's going to be movies. It's a money thing. This is all about money. You're right, Beatles. More the strikes out, the more it's going to be about money.
The longer it goes on, the more it's about money and less about wanting to play football. Paul's in Grafton on Brad Marchand. Paul.
Yeah, I was going to ask you guys about the Bruins, but breaking news, Beatle. I mean, swear to God, I met Gronk's cousin yesterday, Double D's in Walpole, and it's totally about money. He's coming back. He's just sick and tired of taking the shots he took, like in Jacksonville. He's coming back.
It's two different things. You just said it's all about money, and he's sick and tired of taking the shots that he took.
Well, he's not going to take another shot like that, Hottie, unless he's getting, you know, big bucks for it, you know?
Well, then he's definitely not coming back.
He's getting big bucks. His eyes paid at his position. What else you got?
That's what what's he crying about? Then he's not getting paid enough for that. He wants to renew his contract or whatever.
Okay.
I think I get what you're saying, Paul, is that he doesn't want the risk. He doesn't want to take any risk.
Yep. I just
he
think...
does not want to have to go play and risk his career if he's not being guaranteed his money, is what he's saying. He wants his money regardless of what happens.
Yeah, let me train differently. Remember all the videos of him pumping weights?
That's what it is.
Lifting, doing bench press, you know, shirtless at the pool. Like, you don't see a lot of that now.
So if
he wants guaranteed money beyond the $8 million he's got coming to him in the base salary this year. He wants guaranteed money that will be paid to him against injury in future years.
The best thing he
That's
has.
What he wants.
So how many years left does he have on his deal?
Two. This coming one and one more.
Right. And with incentives, bonus, roster bonus, all that stuff, he stands to make
he's
a total of...
He hit them all this year.
$20 million, we'll say.
He wants it all guaranteed and he comes back?
He probably wants that dollar amount guaranteed to him with whatever they have to do to get
there. I think there could
be... years, something. He wants guaranteed dollars beyond the $8
million
base salary.
So if they just say, fine, but forget all the incentives, all this stuff, we'll just guarantee you all that money.
Yeah.
See, I think, football coaches, football teams say, put your helmet on, play football. And I think the one thing Gronk has maybe going for him here is... You know, look at the way how good I felt this year. I came back. I took 3 back surgeries. I came back. I played my ass for you. You put rods in my wrist. I wear this big thing on my arm. I took a headshot in Jacksonville, and I ain't ever felt like the way I felt after that game. I didn't like that. Are you going to scare him with the CTE stuff or the brain stuff? Because can you get a team to listen because of the style of that injury? If I'm going to take another headshot in week 4 next year, I want to make sure that if I'm not right, you're going to be able to take care of me the next year after that. I don't know. Because he got knocked out. Supposedly said, I don't know where I am or what happened. So.
That makes sense. I mean, if.
With the independent neurologist, I'm saying. You know what I'm saying?
The guaranteed dollars, as it stands right now for the next 2 years, do you know what the number is?
Well, it's 9 this year.
I don't
guaranteed.
Have
it's got to be. It would have to be. Oh. I don't know.
Oh, in terms of guaranteed money that's left? He shows up and plays. His base salary is guaranteed. It's $8 million.
See, that's what if he doesn't play, you're assuming that if he takes a headshot like Zoe said, week 3 this year and doesn't play the rest of the year and doesn't feel good about playing next year, the Patriots would
don't pay him anything else.
Cut him. Say you can't play anymore. You don't get paid anymore. I don't think it's unreasonable for him to ask.
No
that.
Play, no pay.
But if he doesn't get that guaranteed money and he's just playing for a little bit more here and there and a little bit more in the way of incentives, then it kind of takes away from his, hey, I'm risking my life and limb for this. It's like, okay, so you're willing to do it for $19 or $20 million, but $16, you wouldn't do that. It's not worth it. Like, what's the difference? If you're talking about the rest of your life and being able to have a healthy, functioning life down the road after football, really? You're at $3 million is the difference between, say, $16, $17, or $20? It loses a little bit of the edge of the argument when you do it like that. But if he wants just guaranteed money for the next 2 years, yes, he should have it. I think he deserves it. I think a lot of players deserve that.
He wants something converted to a bonus. He wants guaranteed cash.
I tell you, man, that NFLPA, that is something else, boy. What those guys go through, and for the lack of security that most of them have in their contracts, it is unbelievable. It's unbelievably one-sided for the owners.
What he said.
Look at so.
Thank
yep.
you.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Didn't do a good job for me. Today's takeaways on Zolak and Bertrand are next.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, time for today's takeaways, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Take away your excess weight for life with Awaken 180 Weight Loss at awaken180weightloss.com.
I'll go first. We talked a little Tom versus Time today.
We sure did.
We had the trailer that we listened to, and it also prompted us to go back and listen to what Gautam Chopra had to say to us at the Super Bowl, because I thought it was in conflict with what he said the week following the Super Bowl. I did a little bit because I said, you know what? We asked him about this, and I think his story changed. But then we went back and listened. This is what he said.
Do you have episodes ready to go post-Super Bowl that are different based on a win or a loss? Do you have, I mean, is it just going to roll out regardless of what happens?
So we have five episodes that are pretty much in the can that are done. One's coming out today, and then another one's coming out on Sunday. And then there will be a sixth episode that will, be a sort of product of whatever happens on Sunday. And I'll hook up with Tom, you know, next week or the following. And that one will take a few weeks, but that's it. I mean, you know, that's it for now. This isn't some ongoing series or anything like that.
And that's exactly
so
what's been happening.
Describe to a T what has happened.
What has happened. Mm-hmm. And how dare you call out Gautam Chopra for somehow indicating otherwise?
You called him out.
You did. I felt
I don't remember.
Good about
I don't remember who said it.
No.
Somebody on the show said it.
No, we were here.
You
and how
out.
Dare they?
No, you did. And
how
you're
dare
obviously
they?
Defending
He's
your friend.
Just so calming.
And you're upset that I sort of insinuated that he was a star bleeper.
You did, and that was hurtful.
I did. And
he hates Beetle.
I don't think he appreciated the question, but I asked him how he got in so tight with all these stars.
So, Michael Jackson.
Exactly. How did he? That's what I wanted to know.
Well, it really...
What's your deal? And he's like, well, I have a... You know, he basically gave the, well, having a famous dad
father,
helped. I'm like,
duh.
Right. That doesn't automatically make you any it's sort of...
But it really
prize.
Set Beetle off when he saw Gautam warming up to me, and he's like, oh, he must be a star bleeper. Look at him trying to get in good with Hardy.
Yes.
You know, that's what really set Beetle over the top.
All right. My takeaway for today.
All right.
I am a scared. And you say, well, what are you scared of, Zoe? I am scared that Bill Belichick is at the Alabama Pro Day today with Brett Bielema, former Arkansas head coach, SEC guy. And Beto, I looked at you and I said something to you.
And Bielema's now going to work for the Patriots.
He's the new Greg Schiano. Really? He's actually representing the Patriots. He did it at the combine. Helped them in scouting. There are two guys. They ran sub 4.4. They ran 4.37, 4.38, two Alabama corners. The last Alabama corner drafted was Cyrus Jones. I'm afraid that Bill Belichick is down there looking at a potential second or third round draft pick in one of those Alabama corners because they could run a 4.35 or 4.37. Just go back and watch that national championship game when that true freshman, that Fromm kid, true freshman, 18-year-old freshman, diced them up. For four quarters before they put that other kid in and could run around and throw the ball. Just be careful of these Alabama corners. Okay? That's all.
Well, you don't get Cyrus Jones?
I just want to go get Aqib Talib. I want a guy that's going to come and not rip your chain off, spit in your face, do something, step on your neck. Give me that guy. Give me that guy for two more years.
What? You don't like it when Bill just drafts the kids from the schools where he's got friends or coaches? You don't like when the scouts come in after, you know, months and months of work, exhaustive research,
and then
they come in and Bill goes, Urban said take this kid, so we're taking him.
Or the kid they interviewed from Stanford, the Reed kid, smartest kid in the draft, right? Another one.
Yeah, we're taking the kid from Richards. Nick at Alabama. Yeah, Cyrus Jones. He says he can play.
Yeah. Wow. That's what I'm afraid of.
You don't enjoy that? You don't enjoy that process?
I forgot Cyrus Jones' name. I had to look him up. Swear to God.
Cyrus Circus.
I knew it was Jones.
Circus
like,
is in town.
Jones, Jones. Cyrus Jones. 24.
24.
24. 21. Revis Law.
Destroying
Cyrus
a number.
Cyrus Jones.
I mean, just destroying the number.
Oh.
Not doing it. It's not doing it any good to have him wearing that jersey.
Yeah.
All right, then.
Hey.
Back tomorrow at the Garden. 10 a.m.
Let's go Bruins.
Selger Mazur next. Bye.